I don't know if any of you have perceived that Wednesday's voting was not just voting, but in the spiritual realm, there's a shift that's taken place. And part of this shift is where, what can I say, the ecclesia, the called out ones that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. It's the time where we are not leaving the destiny of our nation in the hands of political leaders, but we, as ecclesia, is starting to say, God, we are involved with your destiny for the nation. Because we've relied on politicians to determine the destiny of our nation, and we haven't gone to God, what is your destiny for South Africa? And we are involved in seeing your destiny, your kingdom come, your will be done. And so this is a time where we all start to see many in the body of Christ rising up and realizing, God, thank you, you've called us in a nation, and be involved with what your destiny is for the nation. And so that's why, as we've been looking at faith, it's such an important truth for you and I to understand how faith works, how what is faith, and how to use faith and understand the sort of the working of faith that'll give us the confidence in believing when God speaks about nothing's impossible for those who believe. So Father, we want to thank you for a time that we have entered in. We want to thank you for the hour, the season, the hour, this most incredible moment where, Father, your family here in South Africa, where we will really begin to have a deeper understanding of what it is to be in your kingdom, what it is to be involved with this great kingdom that your Son brought in to existence, and to see that this kingdom of yours is the kingdom that is the growing, the almighty, the everlasting kingdom, and all the other kingdoms is not. They will all come to an end, and all the other kings will submit and yield to our King Jesus Christ. We are in this mighty kingdom of yours, Jesus. And this morning, as we are with you in this kingdom of yours, we want to thank you as you show us how to be involved with you in your rule through our lives, in bringing life to the nation, bringing life to people. And we want to thank you for the manifestation and the powerful work of what you did on the cross. Lord, as we were singing about that first song about your blood that brings everything new, reminded of Israel, where your physical blood first fell on that land. And so we can just bless Israel with life. Let your blood speak, and let your blood bring life into the lives of the people in that land. And we thank you for the powerful working of your blood, Lord. Give you the praise for that. So we receive, Holy Spirit, as you share with us. You spoke about in that song just how your blood shapes our destiny. Your blood covers our destiny. Your blood is involved in our destiny, because in you we live and move and have our being. So we receive, Father, this morning, your mighty work in and through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Many folk are trying to find purpose in life and trying to find reason for existence. Won't find it outside the kingdom. You've got to connect and understand, God, be in your kingdom. My reason for existence and everything is linked to the reality of living in the kingdom. And help your friends that are trying to find purpose and meaning in life to understand what it is to be in the kingdom of God. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. And today we're looking at faith again, and we're looking at the second part, And so I want to just quickly recap a little bit about last Sunday so that we can build on to more. And I think next Sunday we can do the third part of faith, because there's some more that needs to be shared and for us to learn. As I mentioned previously, I'm on a journey of really learning how to live in the realm of faith. I don't understand it much yet, so I'm inviting everybody to join me on the journey as we can be involved with what God wants to do for our nation and the nations. So we looked here in Mark chapter 9, and this is the context again when Jesus has been with Peter and John, James on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he comes down, and that's when the disciples are trying to heal this boy, trying to cast a demon out of this father's child. And so from verse 14, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teacher of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. And the man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long will I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. And that's an important question, because it shows you that Jesus was not intimidated by the length that this boy has been suffering. Very important to understand the faith in Jesus, etc. And so he then says, "From childhood," he answered, "it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on him and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." And immediately the boy's father explained, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." And then we see how Jesus casts out and heals this boy. And we looked at this last week, and again, just to paint the picture here, where the disciples are busy trying to cast the demon out of this boy. And what was mentioned by you on Sunday, I thought was very important, where the religious leaders were arguing with the disciples. And very often, as a body of Christ, that can cause unbelief, that could cause intimidation, because they know what they're talking about. They learn it, they've got degrees in theology. We're just the normal kind of people. And that's a reality that many might face, in as we looked at previously, where we can start getting unbelief creeping in because of, we don't know, they are the learned ones. And so he has so much insight in the life of faith and the life of unbelief. And as we can see here, where there's always that, there's physical symptoms, there's the signs, there's all this that's taking place. They're not getting the demon out of the person. So one of the things that happens, particularly when you're involved in casting demons out of people, is that often there's a struggle. And the purpose of a struggle is to try and get unbelief in your heart. It's not working. Okay, and so you've got to work, and you've got to take that. You can't allow that it's not working rising up there. And you've got to just keep on pressing in with faith in your heart. Because of the name of Jesus, what he has already done for that person. So this is a reality that one faces in this. The same with praying for the sick. we all experience it. We don't see the result straight away, and so unbelief creeps up, and then we don't see the healing because of unbelief again and things like that. We forget about the example Jesus gives, where he cursed the fig tree, and only the next day it was dead. And that often when we pray for healing, it's a done deal, but sometimes it takes a while. But that journey of the while can create a tremendous amount of unbelief in our hearts. Okay, and everything is possible for those who believe. Very important that we're having a look at all our experiences are all wrapped up in the teaching hour of Jesus. And so here we saw also last week where we spoke about the reality where the Father came and says, if you are willing, and that word if is such a big word because it's full of doubt, it's full of unbelief. He's seeing this, he's got experience with his child from birth. This is a reality. We've battled with this all the time. There's no hope. We've tried everything. And it comes to Jesus. We've asked your disciples, now if you are able to do something, and then Jesus then says, if? It's like, come on, you guys. If? And he's really speaking into the doubt, the unbelief of the Father. See, faith comes from hearing. So now Jesus is saying, if, and there's something about the words of Jesus, it's life and spirit. So as Jesus is communicating, something's taking place. And what's taking place? We'll get to there. But here we see something very profound taking place. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. And this is the verse we want to spend a little bit of time on this morning to see how faith works and how this truth is the invitation for you and I. So if you can, Jesus replied. And I think that answers a lot of our questions because if Jesus can save, if Jesus can touch this nation, if Jesus can do this, and Jesus is really just speaking, what do you mean if? Kind of thing. And it's like, hey, we've got to start looking and think, starting to take notice of what we are saying and thinking. What are the thoughts? What is the unbelief ifs? Because ifs is the unbelief voice. It's rising up within us. So we can have faith and unbelief at the same time within us. So when the Father said there, I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And as we mentioned, Jesus did not correct him because this is the reality. You and I, we can have faith. God is real. But at the circumstances rising up there, unbelief rises up over there and strangles that faith and prevents that faith from working. So it's very, very real. And then we looked at quickly, let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Just to bring in another aspect of this because it just comes through this different side to this. In Matthew 17, it's the same situation. And he replied, because the disciples asked why we couldn't do this. And then Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. And he uses the word little faith over here. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So again, we see where Jesus is opening up something about faith, something about little faith, something about small faith, something about moving. He gives an example of moving. Moving a mountain from one place to another. Why does he use that? What's he speaking about? It's important for us to grasp this because it helps us understand what takes place when we operate in faith. There's a movement that takes place. Okay? And so he has so much insight again that we're having, that Jesus is helping us to understand how he lived, how he walked as a man on this earth, full of faith in his Father, full of faith in the Holy Spirit, full of faith, and he's modeling and sharing with us a lifestyle of what it is to be a child of God. And so he says over here, nothing will be impossible for you. Another scripture quickly is Mark chapter 11. And this is when Jesus clears the temple, and again with the reality of that fig tree. But just notice what Jesus says over here in verse 22. Have faith in God. Now again, this, the English doesn't really put it correctly. It says have faith of God. And that's what we've been looking at last Sunday, this God faith that you and I have already received by the Holy Spirit. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, if anyone says, notice the words of our speech, to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt. That's his unbelief in his heart. Not in the spirit, in the heart. Because our spirit is full of faith. But it's our heart, it's our emotions, it's our feelings, it's our senses that carries this incredible doubt because of the humanity side of us. And then he carries on. It does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen. It will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for, gang, he has the communication for in prayer, it's communication, believe that you have received it. Not that you will, believe that you have received it. And it will be yours. What an incredible promise. This is how Jesus lived. Who lives within us? This is the invitation to step into the realm of faith that we are going into. And it'll be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him. We'll get back to this. Why does Jesus add this into this faith story? Okay? So that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So much in this over here. We looked at, last Sunday, we looked there that every single one of us who are born again, we have received the gift of faith. We often read the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? You see, it's love, joy, peace, etc. Faith. The English would say faithfulness. That is faith that persists. So we have faith. The Spirit of God is within us. So we have all been given faith. There's no, we mustn't say we don't have faith. Okay? We have faith in our spirit man. The reason we say we don't have faith is that we have not yet learned how to appropriate, how to take this faith of the Spirit within us, this God faith that we have been given as a gift, and to be able to use it. That's why when Paul prays in Ephesians 3, and he says there, Father, enable them to be able to grasp this truth that you want them to share, so that Christ may dwell in their heart. See, again, it's a soul dimension that we battle with. Not in our spirit, man. Our Holy Spirit is communicating with our spirit. Our spirit understands. Our spirit lives in this realm of faith. But our soul dimension, our mind, our thoughts, our feelings, etc., and our bodies, and that we don't yet know how to receive it, how to bring it out of our spirit. And that's what God wants to help us to learn. So we realize we looked there in Ephesians 2 verse 8 where we saw there that faith is a gift from God. We looked there at 2 Peter chapter 1 where we saw there that when Peter writes there that you have received this precious faith just as we have received this faith from God. So we have all, when we got born again, we received because the Spirit of God came, we've got this faith within us. One of the fruit Part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is faith. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing God. So as the Spirit takes, as the Holy Spirit takes from Jesus and communicates, remember, only the Spirit knows the deep things of the Father, and the Spirit communicates to our spirit so that we understand spiritual truths, so we have the mind of Christ. What's taking place? All the time our spirit is in communication. The Spirit testifies with our spirit, Abba Father. So it's all, that's the communication. We need to learn how to recognize, how to hear, how to renew the mind to what our spirit is communicating to us. And so we pray for the ears to be opened, and there's more there to be spoken about. So these are the things we've looked at there. Now, in John 14 verse 20, we spoke about that on Pentecost Sunday, where we saw there that when Jesus spoke about his departure and he mentioned about when he's going to be leaving, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and then the Father is going to be dwelling within him. Then we will realize, the word is powerful, then we will realize that the Father is in his Son. The Son is in the Father, and the Son is in us. And they will come and make their dwelling, their home within us. So now we're starting to see something about the life of faith. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, faith is in the Holy Spirit, there is a realization that God is real. There's a realization, there's a revelation, there's a truth that explodes, but you are God. See, so there's something about this God faith that's full of life. There's something about this God faith that brings in the reality of who God is. And every, in God, in His Word, is very true, it's very alive, it's very active. When Jesus spoke in John 6, verse 63, when He said that the words that I speak are spirit and life. You know, in Hebrews 4, the Word of God is sharper and active, etc. And it divides and it penetrates and it searches. And it searches. Have you ever considered something here about this amazing Word of God? Because faith comes from hearing, and wanting to emphasize a truth over here so that we understand and know this, what we speak, and the Word abiding within us. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. You and I think we're reading the Word of God. The Word of God's reading us. Exposing. Ha ha. You see. It's not just a ritual. It's not just, see, in faith, the realm of faith, one realizes, God, you're reading my heart as I'm reading your word. And all of a sudden, things start to happen within us. And we receive the mighty life-giving truth that brings about the transformation in our lives. This is what faith, this is a life of faith that you and I have received. That's why some people don't want to read the Bible. Because the Bible reads them. So it changes the way we spend time in the Word of God. It's not just an exercise. It's not just, it's now, Father, We know, Jesus, you're the Word. We know that this, what you've shared over here, as we're reading, you are reading my heart and you're letting light shine into my heart. You're exposing, you're bringing in correction, you're bringing in truth. You're busy shining in the areas where there's unbelief. We're shining in these areas where there's great joy and excitement. You're encouraging whatever the Father wants to do. So enjoy reading the Word of God. God's reading us. Nothing's hidden. So, when we're starting to learn how to speak what God is saying, there's a depth of truth there now that we need to ponder about. When God speaks and we pray and we declare it over a nation, what God's Word says, God's Word is reading the hearts of a nation. And the Holy Spirit shares with us the thoughts of the Father. Then we know how to pray the will of God. A life of faith. Oh, we're in a kingdom. That's why we have to get to that place where we agree with ourselves. We get in that agreement. God, we're not part of this world anymore. We're in this kingdom of yours. And here we are. We vote for your kingdom. We commit ourselves to your kingdom. And we're going to give all our time and our energy to see your kingdom advance. Because the destiny of our nation is simple. All people to be born again. All people to be saved. And we are involved with this great destiny to see all people being born again, coming into your kingdom, all reconciled through the blood of Jesus. We work with that. That's our focus. That's our energy. And then all these other things shall be added as well. Our Father knows what we need. He cares. He loves us. So it's not this terrible life that we may think that enemy may lie to us about. So we've been having a look at these things, and then we just had a look there in Galatians, or the word faith again. Remember, the word faith is divine persuasion. And then, just to close from the recap side, then we had a look at the reality there that when God communicates to us, we find there that there's this life, there's this faith that rises up within us. And we believe, we are fully persuaded. And we go out. But there is also the unbelief. And as we looked at, the unbelief can be in certain categories. It can be in the area where my knowledge, my understanding, I don't have. So I'm living in unbelief because I don't know any better. My people perish because of lack of knowledge and understanding. So we could be battling in life, because we just don't know what the Word of God says about that. We haven't heard the Spirit of God communicate and open up Scripture to us. So that's the unbelief. So we continue that there. The other area of unbelief where we've got faith, we are fully persuaded, but that faith is in, it's misplaced, it's in a person, it may be in a church organization, it may be in my family, we're born as Christians, etc. And now I just believe because I'm born in that family, I'm saved. It's all misplaced faith. And it's not the genuine God-given faith. And then obviously the last one we looked at is where it's that natural unbelief because of our senses and our sight and our feelings and what we see, like these disciples. And then they just get the unbelief. And this is what you and I go through. So Jesus then, he starts to speak and he says here that everything is possible for those who believe. First thing we've got to ask ourselves is, can Jesus do it? We want to address that thought. I don't quite think Jesus can do it. So Jesus is helping us over here. And he says, if I can, and we ask ourselves, can Jesus do this? Is it possible for Jesus to do this? And if we're battling over there, that's unbelief. We need to hear. Faith comes from hearing what God has to say to us. So if we're still battling with can he do this? Is it possible? Then we go and we say, Lord, I'm battling over here. Why don't you share with me? Why don't you give me revelation? I don't want what people are saying. I need you to communicate, because faith comes as you share with me truth. The keys of the kingdom. I was sharing the other day, some time back, this praying. I see the cross of Jesus, and I see on the cross all the keys of the kingdom. Many, many, many. And every key is a revelation of what Christ has really done in his death and resurrection. The keys of the kingdom. What has Christ already done? Are you able to? What has Christ already done in his death and resurrection? What does the scriptures say what Christ has already done? Who he is? Are you able to? If. So, first thing about understanding how to start to move, for us to start moving in a deeper level of faith, is to ask the question, Lord, do I really believe? Are you able to do this or not? And I just need you to help me to get rid of my unbelief, just like the Father over here. Help me to overcome, I like the word overcome, my unbelief. And then Jesus says over here, very important statement, he says to the man, everything is possible. In the Matthew 17, the negative, nothing is impossible. Everything is possible. I don't know, but that's quite a... So I ask myself, Lord, you say everything is possible. Can you do it? Dealing with that if question all the time. Everything is possible for him who believes. So it's not possible for God to sin. It's not possible for God to give you a snake when you ask for bread. It's not possible for God to contradict his nature. See, the key is he who believes. Faith comes from hearing God. That's the key. So when we hear from God, it's possible. That's it. See, now we can walk with that fully persuaded. It's possible. We've heard from you, and it's possible. There's nothing impossible. It's going to happen. So now we go back. Whatever we ask for in prayer, believe that we have already received it, because he has spoken, and it's now a reality. It's possible because he has spoken, but I must make sure I don't get the unbelief rising up that's going to strangle that faith now, that belief, that persuasion. I'm not going to let other people argue me out of my belief. I'm not going to let circumstances argue and steal that faith that's in within me. See, that's why when Jesus speaks about the parable about the fig tree, when he spoke about the fig tree and he said about the little faith and the small faith. Little faith is a faith that's got no substance to it. It's full of unbelief. It's more unbelief than anything else. It's just that you need to hear from God. But small faith has got all the substance. It's all. It's a full faith. But what's so encouraging about that is what I believe God is helping us to understand is that it's small. The reason why it's small, because the Holy Spirit has only shared you one little truth of revelation that you need. There's so much more, but He's giving that little bit of truth that the Holy Spirit has shared with you is enough to move a mountain. Be encouraged. You see? So when the Holy Spirit, you be going through life and the Holy Spirit gives you one scripture, small, move a mountain. Sometimes we think, oh, we want this great, big faith. But one truth, one key of the kingdom, one revelation is able to move a mountain. Okay. So that's important to be encouraged by. To realize every time the Holy Spirit speaks one word, one sentence, that has got all the power because it's a full faith. It's not little. It's got the power of God in it to move the mountain, to speak and to bring about that which is impossible into the reality of being possible. That's more faith. Let's not allow unbelief to steal that confidence, that persuasion, this understanding. So there's so much that Jesus is helping us to learn and how to begin to practice how to walk in faith. So he says over here, nothing is impossible for those who believe. I want to bring in a bit of Greek words over here. When he speaks about here, everything is possible for him who believes, that word possible, it's a profound word. Because that word possible is from the word dunamis, power, dynamite. And so when Jesus is saying to us over here that all things, what the Father has spoken, what the Spirit has released to us concerning the situation, all things now that has been spoken to us is possible. It has the power, it has the dynamite power to do something. And this possible speaks about this dynamic dynamite power moves it from one place to another. So Jesus says, when you speak to this mountain, it will move. See, that's the power that's operating. And so in the tenses over here, it's saying over here that this faith, this belief, this persuasion that you've heard what God has spoken, and as we communicate, as we speak to that situation, the power of this faith now moves this situation that's impossible into the realm of it's done, it's a possibility, it's done. That's the power of this faith. So this faith within us has the power of God to move the situation. So we know, for instance, when we look now at our starting point, what has Christ already done? All of a sudden we start to see, but in Christ we have been, the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Jesus. So we know that what Christ has already done, the spiritual reality of the power of His blood, of His sacrifice, everything that our Lord Jesus has done is there in the spiritual realm. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Everything's in the spiritual realm. So how do we get it from the spiritual realm? How do we get it from our spirit who lives in the reality of the spiritual realm? How do we get it from here into the natural? And this is the key for you and I to understand that as we hear what God says, spirit to spirit communication, now as I speak and as I act according to my faith, what's taking place? That faith that God has given to us, that faith that's within us now in our soul dimension, that faith that is over there, that has the power to shift, that has the power to move from that which is in the spirit into the natural. That's how Jesus lived. So, is the destiny of South Africa in the hands of the politicians? Or is it in the heart of the believer? Is it in the mouth of the believer? See, this is a time for us in South Africa as believers. This is our time to rise up and to be able to be involved with God's great destiny, because we've got no confidence in the political saviors of South Africa, but in our Lord Jesus Christ, what He has done. I'm excited for the future, because we are involved in an amazing future for our nation, for our families, for our communities, etc. So nothing is impossible for those who believe. A little truth that seems little to us, but it's God's truth that the Holy Spirit shares in our situation. Spirit to spirit, renew my mind to that truth, accepting that truth. And yes, faith is now flowing into my soul dimension. I'm fully persuaded. And Abraham heard the Father speak to him. He heard what God spoke to him. And even though he considered that his body is dead and his wife is barren, dead, the age is over there. Even though there was unbelief that wanted to cry out to say, it's impossible, it's impossible, it's impossible, Abraham did not allow unbelief to creep up into his heart and his mind and his actions and his speech. And he was fully persuaded that God was able to do that which He has promised. Faith. So he says to his wife, come, action time. The baby's born. Faith in action. May God help us to hear. May we position ourselves to realize that as we are spending time in the Word of God, as in relationship, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit. It's these words that the Holy Spirit has communicated to you and I, and it's in our spirit. We're renewing, we're accepting, we get into agreement, we yield it. The parable of the sower. And it's now being established within us. Oh, and we speak those words. Powerful and effective. The prayer of the righteous. The prayer of faith. And so, Jesus says, whatever you ask for, communicating with our Father. We're asking what the Spirit has shared. When we speak to the tree, it moves. So this is the journey I'm on. Just hope you come with me. We can share our stories together on the battle of unbelief. And just that, that's how real it is. But in that battle of unbelief, as we're walking on the water, we hear Jesus speak. And we step on the water. And then we see an unbelief, whoops, and we sink of it. Jesus. Many times we're going to say, Jesus, save us. And we're going to see instantly in the boat the miracle He's helping us. We're in a time of tremendous grace where He's helping us to step into the realm of faith so that we can truly be involved in seeing the kingdom of God advancing as the Daniel 7 prophesied about this incredible kingdom of God. As Isaiah chapter 7 also, 11, many other places, the prophecy concerning the King of Kings, the government on His shoulder, and His reign being established. Faith. Any questions? Or anything that you want to ask and we can try and answer? Ecclesia is a Greek word. See, the Bible translated as church. But ecclesia is the time of Jesus, the way that the Roman had their political system. It was called ecclesia, where they are, it means called out ones that meet to speak about how to govern the town. And so we have been called out from the dominion of darkness. We're in a kingdom. We meet with our Lord Jesus to discuss how He wants to govern, how He wants to rule. So it's that kind of mindset. It's not just coming together to be happy. It's here we're here because God wants to rule us to see His kingdom advancing. And that's what it is. So it's called at once, but with an authority, with a governmental kind of understanding of the kingdom of God, the rule here on earth. And that's what the king, that's what ecclesia is all about. Yeah. Yeah. It changed when Constantine was converted. And then they brought in the terminology of like a church where, because church really is also, it's about like a gathering, and they brought about the reality and started to institutionalize the believers. And that is, from then onwards, the word church started to become a reality in the Bible and things like that. Yeah. So I try not to use the word church because it's got a religious, it's got denominational, it's got institutionalized, it's got all this stuff. I rather use ecclesia because we are called out in the kingdom. See, ecclesia is a kingdom terminology and we are to rule on earth. Yeah. Peter? On Mark. Okay, before I elaborate on that, what was verse 29? Yeah, we'll get back to over there, because again in the Greek, some manuscripts don't have fasting, and some do have fasting. So, it's really dealing not so much with the demon, he's dealing with the unbelief in the heart. You see, how do you get rid of unbelief? And that's really what he's mentioning over here. Because in the name of Jesus, it's like you don't need to pray and fast. Jesus is Jesus and that. But they were battling because there was too much unbelief, all the noise and the things over there. And so how do you get this faith? How do you grow in that there? And then he says, okay, it's in prayer. Because in prayer is relationship, the Holy Spirit speaks. Fasting, and some manuscripts will put fasting, because in the fasting, what's taking place is that the soul dimension that shouts, the soul dimension that screams and sees all of this there is now being subdued. And you're able to hear more from your spirit now. And wow, God, it's possible. And that's why the prayer and fasting, some manuscripts and some just the prayer. And so forth, yeah. But it's really this dealing, how do you get rid of the unbelief in our hearts? And it's prayer and fasting. Yeah. In that last one, where Jesus speaks about whatever you, they would, except about the, speak to the mountain and it will move, etc. And he says, but if you do not have, but if you have unforgiveness in your heart. And I've never understood this. I always asked myself, why did Jesus speak straight after that, that incredible teaching of faith? And he says, now, let's quickly end this by speaking about unforgiveness. And I realize unforgiveness is a symptom of unbelief. So if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, we are full of unbelief because we do not believe that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We do not believe that we have died to that old man. Full of unbelief. So we still, this kind of stuff there. But we've died. So we haven't accepted truth yet. We don't believe the reality of being raised with Christ Jesus. We don't believe when God's word says, bless your enemies. We don't believe that stuff. Unbelief. You see, so take note, if there's unforgiveness in our hearts and we're praying for something, guess what? Unless just in the goodness of God he answers, but it's simply because we're not getting the answers because of unforgiveness, it's unbelief, and we can never receive what we've asked for because we've got a divided heart. We've got unbelief in our heart. Many Christians need to hear this. Many believers are praying, but they got unforgiveness towards many, many things. And that's why God's words reads us and exposes this unbelief, exposes this unforgiveness, exposes these things in our hearts. We deal with it, repent, we want to have a desire for holy living, and we can pray. Okay. Any more questions? Oh, good. Father, we want to thank you as you, Holy Spirit, leads us. And I love the way, Jesus, you spoke, how the Holy Spirit will lead us into truth. And Holy Spirit, you are leading us into something that's kind of, it's changing our lives. Even as we speak, our lives are being changed. We want to thank you, Holy Spirit, as you take and take us into the reality of how Jesus lived here on earth. And this incredible truth when he says, just as Lord Jesus, as you have been living, so too we are able to live and to be able to do even greater works than what you have been doing. So we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for your example and the encouragement you're giving to us to understand that You went to the cross. You were doing this before you went to the cross. But now after the cross and what you have done in your death and resurrection, we are able to receive all of that and to start letting that become a reality. So we ask now by your Spirit, Lord Jesus, teach us, share with us, make us aware, help us to align ourselves up to the place where we truly are involved. Today, Lord, we want to see the reality of your kingdom manifest. That's my heartbeat. That's my ambition. Wherever I may be, I want to be involved to see your kingdom manifest. What you have done on the cross to set the captives free, to be able to bring life into the situations. And Lord God, as you share with us, I pray that you will help us to be bold in a sense, to be able to just step out and just to go in faith, knowing that we've heard what you have spoken and nothing's impossible, and we're able to speak that or do whatever you've told us to do. So Jesus, thank you as we celebrate the powerful work of your blood and your broken body. We celebrate what you did on the cross. We celebrate for the keys of the kingdom, the authority that we can use in your name. And we are learning whatever we do it in your name. Whatever we say, we do it in your name, carrying the fullness of who you are, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that. We ask too, Lord, where there's unbelief in our heart, just as that Father said, help us to overcome our unbelief. And we ask that you share with us, with your Holy Spirit, truth, so that faith just explodes from our spirit into our soul, into our emotions, into our mind, into our bodies, that we may experience the life of your faith, the power of your faith. But also now, Lord, as you teach us to realize that all things are possible, and just wrapping up that possibility, understanding that it's the dynamite of yours, it's the power of yours that shifts things, that takes that which is impossible and brings it into the possibilities. And we want to thank you, Father, and this faith, that faith that's shifted, that faith that has gone towards that impossible situation, that just begins to activate the move. And we want to thank you, Father, for that. Lord, we're going to go on a journey this week in many, many areas of our lives to learn how to get established in this. And so thank you, Holy Spirit. You are our helper. We embrace you as you teach us, as you lead us, as you show us and guide us in our day-to-day lives. And we give you the praise and glory, Father, for this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.